It says it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It will bring division. And one of the things that I've found really encouraging over these years that God has blessed me with ministry is know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And you know, we're part of God's body, and we're all part of body ministry. And one of the things that I want to say before I continue with the message is, you know, there are times where God will challenge you just as much as he challenges me. There'll be times where God speaks to you just the same as he speaks to me. And we've all been given the word, yes? We've all been given the word. So we're not living in times where just the elite, just the priests, and those that are at the top of their professions have the word. We all have the word. So as much as it is for me to articulate what I believe the Lord is saying to me, it's your responsibility also to articulate one to another. And I won't mention names, but I want to encourage you that there are people within this room that have spoken into the life of other churches, into the life of other people, other Christians. There are people in this room that have spoken into my life. There was a man many years ago that said something to me that I didn't understand at the time. And boy, do I understand it now. He said this, he said, "The Lord says," and you've got to be careful when you use that, "the Lord says." The Lord says, there's something coming. It's so big, you can't go over it, you can't go under it, you can't go around it, you have to go through it. And the Bible says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, or fear no evil, there is a valley experience that we all have to walk through. But for me, there was something so big that God had already blessed me by telling me I'm going to have to walk through it. And I say blessed, because we're talking about the message that's called the Sermon on the Mount. As Jesus was on the Mount of Olives, as he was on that mountain, this has become the title. And in Matthew 5:5, it says this, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them." And I've said this before, and it's worth just saying it again. Jesus was speaking primarily to his disciples, to those that were around him. So for want of a better word, I could say he was talking to the church. He was talking to those that would go on to be persecuted, would go on to see signs, wonders, and miracles. He was talking to those that were closest to him. And yet there were multitudes that would follow him, and they would follow him because of the signs and wonders. Many people today will form a crowd because they want to see the signs and wonders, but there were just a few of his disciples that he was speaking to. And there are times that we will find we can gather a crowd because people want to see the signs and wonders. But when trouble comes, we'll be on the mountainside, hopefully, and we'll allow God to speak to us and through us, through the Holy Spirit. And Jesus spoke to his disciples, and he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, when we look at kingdom principles, we know that there's an earthly kingdom and there's a heavenly kingdom, yes? We know that if we're sinners that have been saved by grace, that's us, that there is a heavenly kingdom awaiting for us. Jesus said, "If I go, I go to prepare a place. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. And if I go, I send the Comforter." So we can ascend the Holy Spirit so that in this kingdom, we can experience his kingdom. Does that make sense? So there's a kingdom to come and there's a kingdom now. And we're not of this world, the Bible says, if we belong to Christ. So you can experience God's blessings now and eternal. And I hope that makes sense. It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, those that will humble themselves." We spoke on this last week. Those that will come with a contrite heart. Those that will say, as the psalmist did, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit," or a steadfast spirit, a spirit that will not be shaken. We can experience all the spiritual blessings that Christ came, died to give us. And we can also experience the natural blessings. We wake up in the morning and we see the sunshine. or we see the rain, or we see the clouds, or we see the snow, or we see the ice, we're blessed, aren't we? We're blessed, whether we're well-fed or hungry, Paul says. I have learned to be content in all things. And if we can be content in all things, then we're blessed. So I want to say to us afresh that if you belong to him, then you are blessed. It says, I want to speak about this today in verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Seems to be do they call it an oxymoron? It seems to be a contradiction. To mourn, to be blessed. I have one or two scriptures I want to read to you. In Genesis 23, 20, verse 1, it says this. Sarah lived to be 127 years old. She died in the land of Canaan, and Abraham went to mourn for Sarah. We understand what mourning is, don't we? If you've lost anyone close to you, you'll understand what it is to mourn. I know for myself, from an early age, from the age of 8, when my grandfather died, who I was really close to, I understood what it was to mourn. And I thought, I don't want to experience this until I was 11, and then my father died, and I understood what it was to mourn. But you know what? I didn't really grieve until I was 30. I didn't understand what it was to mourn in the natural until I was 30 years old. I'd just become a Christian. And because of the prayers of an elderly couple called Harry and Dorothy, I laid on the floor crying my eyes out, a 30-year-old man, crying for my dad to come back. And I said, God, how dare you take him? I want my dad back. And I understood what it was to mourn, to grieve from the inside out. And that's what we see here. Abraham went to mourn the loss of a loved one. So we understand, if we've lost anyone close to us, what it is to have that pain inside. In 2 Samuel 1:11, then David said to all the men who was with him, he took hold of their clothes and tore them. They mourned and wept and fasted till evening for Saul and his son Jonathan, and for the army of the Lord, and for the nation of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. There was a mourning there, a collective mourning. But this mourning was a bit deeper. It had more significance to just losing someone that you're fond of. You know the relationship between David and Jonathan. It was a brotherly love. It was something that was tangible. There was a mourning that went on. Yet Jesus says, blessed are those that mourn. Blessed are those that mourn. And it doesn't seem that we're very blessed when we mourn the loss of a loved one, does it? In Numbers 14, 39, when Moses reported this to all the Israelites, they mourned bitterly. What did he report? If you know the story, read it through Numbers, you'll see that there was a promise that God had given to his people. He said, there's a land, go and take it. And when you understand the story, you'll understand that when the spies went in, 8 of them came out and said, we're too small. We're like grasshoppers in their eyes. You know the story? God didn't say, go and spy out the land and see if you can take it. He said, go and spy out the land I'm giving you. It flows with milk and honey. And this portion of scripture here talks about the mourning for God's people, because only Caleb and Joshua had a different spirit. Everyone else had fallen in the wilderness because of their disobedience. So there was a mourning for God's people who were in disobedience. And there's a mourning that we have when we lose people. And there's a mourning that we have when we fall short of God's goodness. It says, when Moses reported this to all the Israelites, that everyone had fallen apart from Jonathan and Caleb, they mourned bitterly. And then they turned around and said, surely we have sinned, we'll go and enter the land. And Moses says, no, don't go, because God's not with you. There are times when we're in grief. And there's a significance to this story, to these principles that we're giving you today. There's an overwhelming desire sometimes that when we've messed up, we want to just go and put it right. And yet there's a wisdom in God's word. And he says, no, don't go, because God's not with you. See, when we sin, We fall short. No wonder the Bible convicts us. No wonder the Bible offends us, because there's words like sinned that we don't like to use in church anymore. Surely we have sinned, it says in verse 40. But Moses says, why are you disobeying the Lord's command? This will not succeed. So within our mourning, we need to continually go back to God to receive the blessing. In Psalm 119, 136, streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed. The psalmist is saying, when I look around me, I see fallen humanity. The psalmist says, when I look around me, men and women are disobeying you. And yet he's reduced to tears. He's mourning because he sees the sin around him. And there is a time, I believe, where us as a church, we need to look and we need to mourn and receive the blessing. Say, Lord, have mercy on our land. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, speak to me afresh. In Hosea 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement for God in the land. There's only cursing and lying, it says, and murder and stealing and adultery. Now, we need to be a people, I believe. I need to be a person that when I look in the mirror, I see a true reflection, a sinner saved by grace. Yes, I live because he lives. Yes, I'm forgiven because he forgave me. Yes, I have my foot on the rock because he placed me there. But as I look around and I see humanity, I look in the church and outside the church, I have learned to be complacent. Have you? I've learned to just disagree quietly. I have learned that when someone says something that is a lie, I keep quiet instead of challenging because I don't want to offend. I have learned that when churches don't preach the truth, I say things like, well, that's down to God. I've learned that there are some things you have to go through in order to get to the other side. And God's word is a narrow pathway that the Beatitudes talk about. It's a narrow way that God's word says we are to walk through. And so for me, I've been challenged as I've simply looked at blessed are those that mourn, that I've come to an understanding that I don't grieve over sin anymore. I just go, well, maybe I've got it wrong. So I want to challenge myself and I want to challenge us as a church that I believe as we will mourn for a loved one, as I poured out my heart to God and I grieved over the loss of my father, as I held my father on a pedestal thinking that because I didn't know him from the age of 11, he was this superman and God had robbed me of this blessing. As I would lay there and pour out my heart to God, I should do the same thing when it comes to sin, when it comes to the lost, and yet I don't. Do you? So maybe when God says, blessed are those that mourn, there is a blessing that will come to us as a church when we truly see the nakedness of the world, when we truly see the sin that's around us, when we truly see the unbelief, when we truly see people going to hell, that we will mourn and say, God, relent, have mercy. Have mercy. There is no faithfulness. God wants us to be a faithful people. Caleb, it says he had a different spirit. The Bible says, let's be wholehearted, not half-hearted. So for me and you, the challenge is this. Let's be wholehearted, not half-hearted. Let's have a different spirit, the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus understood what it was to be fully God and fully human, didn't he? In John 11, verse 35, it simply says this. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. He saw the anguish of those that he loved, who'd lost a loved one. He identified with the loss of humanity and he wept. You see, Jesus was fully God, but he was fully human. He was tempted in every way, the Bible says, yet he did not sin. But he was full of compassion and mercy. He understood what it was to be around people that had fallen. He had a desire to lift them up and lift them out and say, there is a new day coming. But there is a time for us all to weep and for all to mourn, but there's also a time to rejoice, isn't there? You know, the Bible, the good news means good news. The gospel is good news. So this may sound a little bit depressing, but I believe that it's a good word. It's a word that will bring life and encouragement and nourishment to your bones. Because the Bible says in Proverbs that the word of God is nourishment to our bones. So if you're suffering in your body, absorb the word of God. Let it nourish your bones. In Luke 19, it talks of Jesus. As he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and he wept over it. He saw the city and he wept over it. In verse 40, going up, it says this, I tell you, he replied, if you keep quiet, the stones will cry out. You know, there was a man called John the Baptizer. John the Baptist. And he had a ministry. And he had a ministry that I've got. And he had a ministry that you've got. And that's this ministry. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here's another word that is being struck off from Bible-believing Christians, from churches. Repent simply means I'm going this way that leads to destruction. Repent, turn around and come towards me, Jesus says, life. So it's a good word, not a bad word. But we need to be a people that will lament. We need to be a people that will mourn over the things we see. Change the things we can and give God the things that we can't. Say, Lord, first of all, create in me a clean heart. You see, one of the things that I've found looking back over the archives at some of the teaching that God has brought through myself is that the reason that it's challenging is because it's scriptural, that God provokes us, he stirs us. We should be challenged. We should squirm a little bit in our seats, because when I read this, when I was preparing this, I was squirming, going, I don't lament, I don't mourn over what I see, I accept it. And I shouldn't. I should repent and say, Lord, help me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I heard it again afresh today. We are the light that shines in the darkness. You are the light. You are the living word, because Christ is in you. Yes? So if Christ is in you and he's the word, then the word is in you. But it needs to come out. He saw the city and he wept over it. When's the last time you looked at your neighborhood? You looked at your neighbors? You looked at the community in which you live in? When's the last time I did and wept over it and said, Lord, have mercy on us? I can't remember. But I think after today, I'll be challenged to pray about my family, my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren that will be, my community, my street, my parliament, those that rule over us, my church, those that God has given us, our enemies. I think this is a good word, a challenging word. And so it should be, because it's God's word. And as I was reminded today, it will offend. So I'm glad you've turned up to be offended afresh today, because God will change you and challenge you and enable you to be the best you that you can be, so that you can speak offense to someone else. In love, of course. Now, I say that with tongue in cheek to an extent, but it's true, isn't it? That when we speak God's truth, so someone is doing something that leads to destruction, you say, stop, they're offended. Your children will say, I want, and you say, I wants, don't get. They're offended. I'm going to go see mum then. And she says, what did your dad say? Well, that's what used to happen in my house anyway. My children would say something to my wife, and they'd then come to me and say, Dad, can I? And I would learn wisdom. What did your mum say? She said no. Well, I say the same then. Because where there is unity, God commands a blessing. It starts in the home. It starts in the community. So can we kind of be challenged today to lament over our families and mourn over our communities? And when we see sin, to say, God, have mercy on me. have mercy on us. Just as Jesus looked at the city and wept over it, maybe it's time for us as Christians to look at our community afresh, our town, and say, Lord, have mercy on Down and Market. Have mercy on King's Lynn. In Luke 6, it says this, blessed, see, I told you this was a good news story. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. You see, this is a momentary, a temporal thing, isn't it? We are in the world, but not of the world. It's but a vapor, the Bible says. And you know what? If we concentrate on what's in front of us, we will be dismayed like the rest of the world. But if we look at what God has already prepared for us, he's blessed us in the heavenly realm. He's prepared a room for us. It's all decorated. It has all the things you want in there. And the things you don't want, death and destruction, it's not allowed, it's banished. But that eternal perspective, you can live in now because you belong to him. You may walk through valley experiences, but you belong to him. You may feel that you don't have enough of whatever it is you don't have enough of. Finances, health, wisdom. But he is more than enough. So if you lean on him, you'll understand that you're blessed now as well as in eternity. So when Jesus says, blessed are you who hunger now, it says it's not permanent, for you will be satisfied. Not you might be satisfied, you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. You're going through a tough time. You're watching a loved one slip away. You're watching a member of your family do things that you don't want them to do. You're watching your community going down the hill towards hell. We can weep because there will be a time where we can laugh. As I said, it's a good news story because it's the gospel, and the gospel is literally good news. Proverbs 14:9 says this, fools mock at making amends for sin, but goodwill is found among the upright. You see, people will mock sin because you want to put it right. They'll mock you because you want to live a righteous life. But goodwill, charity, favour is found among the upright. Who are you? You're the upright. Do you feel upright at times? Maybe not. But the truth is still the truth. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you've asked God to forgive you, he's forgiven you. He remember your sins no more. This is why I say it's good news for those that love him. In Psalm 119 verse 1, blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord, not the law of the land, although we are called to obey the law of the land. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. Why was it said he had a different spirit? Because he was wholehearted. You see, we've been called to have a different heart. It's a whole heart to be wholehearted, not half-hearted before God. To come to church and say, Lord, you can have all of me, not just some of me. You can't have that bit that's coveting his neighbor's wife. You can't have that bit, Lord, that wants to hold back the blessing that you've given him. You don't want to bless others with it. You can't have that bit, I just want to feel a little bit aggrieved by that person that's offended me. Can I just hold on to that bit? No, God says you're to be wholehearted. That means, Lord, all of me in exchange for all of you. See, God doesn't say you can have half of my son. You can have half of the Holy Spirit. He says you can have all of me. So we need to be a people that will mourn and lament for sin and rejoice over salvation. Yes, when it comes to the natural, there are situations and circumstances that we find ourselves in that will overwhelm us, like I was overwhelmed as a 30-year-old. But God came to heal me from the inside out. Now, when I think about my father, I'm sad that I missed out on all them years of him telling me off. Because I was one of them kids. I was a likable rogue. If it shouldn't have been done, I would do it. If it shouldn't be said, I would say it. I was one of them kids. But it doesn't affect me the same way. Because I was blessed because I had 11 years. And you're blessed as well, whatever you're going through. In 2 Corinthians 1, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion. You see, there's two, let me go back to that first scripture. It says this, blessed are those who mourn, but we mustn't miss the second part, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those that mourn, for they will be comforted. You see, God comforts us, doesn't he? He said he would send the Holy Spirit, who is the comforter. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all compassion and the God of all comfort. You see, God is your comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. All your troubles. He don't just comfort you in some of your troubles. If you're going through natural grief because of the loss of a loved one, or you're going through natural grief because of a circumstance that's overpowered you, God's the God of comfort. If you're going through a spiritual grief because of sin in your life, God's the God of comfort. If you're going through a spiritual grief because of family members and because of accusations and because of what you see in the world today, God is the God of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles. Why? I'm glad you asked. So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves received from God. You see, God hasn't given you something to keep. He's given you something to give away. You receive it, you give it. You receive the comfort. Does this make sense? You receive the comfort that the God of comfort gives you. And then when you are comforted, when you are restored, even though you haven't fully come through, you give it to someone else. See, that's the gospel. God's given it, so you give it away. This gospel is the gospel of good news. So that's why we can say we're blessed, those that mourn. As we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, thanks, Lord, as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. You see, when you look at Scripture, don't just take one bit. Read around it. At the beginning, at the end. Read it from Genesis to Revelation. You see the goodness of God. Read that blessed are we, even though we walk through tough times. Blessed are you, even though you can't see your blessings right now. You are blessed. And even though you may suffer, God comforts you. And the comfort he comforts you with abounds. If we are distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation, Paul says. There are times that you will be uncomfortable so someone else can be comfortable. There'll be times where you'll give up your seat so someone else can sit down. There'll be times where you give up your privilege so someone else can be privileged. Why? Because you're blessed. You're blessed. Even when you mourn, you're blessed. Just a few more scriptures. In John 8:34, Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you." And when we hear that, "very truly" or "truly, truly," it's almost like Jesus saying, "Listen, listen, I want you to hear this." Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. For if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." So do you belong to Jesus Christ? Well, you're a son, stroke daughter, yes? So if you're a son, stroke daughter, then you're free. So you're blessed. You're blessed. In Romans 6:22, "But now that you have been set free from sin, you have become slaves to God." And do you know what? There are benefits to being a Christian. When we look around us, people will look at you. They will judge you according to what Scripture says. They will judge you according to what you say. They will judge you according to what someone else says about you. They will judge you according to what someone else in another church, in another country says about you. But we're blessed. When we go through persecution, we are blessed. When we mourn, we are blessed because we can lay hold of what God has for us now as well as look forward to eternity. But now you have been set free from sin. You have become slaves of God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness and the result is eternal life. We're blessed. Are you blessed? I'm blessed. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. This is the good news of the gospel. Final scripture. And then our worship team can come and lead us in a worship hymn as we give our adoration to God. Matthew 25, 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father. Question, are you on the right-hand side or the left-hand side of God? Are you on the right-hand side? Good, that means you're sheep. If you're on the left-hand side, that means you're goats. Those that are blessed of the Lord are on the right-hand side. So we're blessed. So even though you walk through troubles, you're blessed. Even though you mourn in the natural, you are blessed. Even though you may not have enough strength in your body at times to put one foot in front of the other, you are blessed. Even though there are times where we look at the world around us and think, if only I could have what they've got. You are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Lay hold of what God has for you. You know, when he died, everything was nailed to the cross. Everything that God promised his son, he promises you. The Bible says, all the promises of God are yes, and the amen is spoken by us. Let's lay hold of his promises. Why? Because we're blessed. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer, Lord, when? When? Well, when you did it to one of us. When you did it to one of those. When you invested in Khufu. When you looked after a neighbor's child. When you visited a sick person in hospital. When you went to the funeral to lend your support. When you gave the coat that you didn't need anymore to someone who needed one. When you shared your home. When you invited others for a meal. When you did it to those, you did it to him. And why can we do these things? Because we're blessed. So I'm going to finish my bit in prayer and invite Clive and his team just to come and lead us in a final hymn as we meditate on the blessings that we have. Father, we thank you for the good and the not so good in our lives. Lord, we thank you that when we mourn in the natural or we mourn in the spiritual, we are blessed because you've given us the kingdom. Lord, we are blessed because we can experience forgiveness now so that we can have an eternity with you. Lord, we are blessed when we go through tough times. We are blessed when people say all kinds of things about you and about us. We are blessed, Lord, because you've forgiven us, we can forgive others. So we're blessed. Father, help us this week to walk in the blessings that we have, and help us this week to mourn over sin and to mourn over the lost and to call out to the lost to come home. Lord, we are blessed. Help us to be a blessing. Amen. Amen.